the Savior of the world. Well, good morning. Just another typical day in America, right? Why don't you stand with me as we read ancient scripture this morning? We're going to be, last week we were in the Gospel of Luke with Mary. Today we are going to be with Joseph, and his perspective of the first Christmas is found in Matthew's Gospel. Matthew chapter 1, 18 through 25. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit, and she will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. Let that sink in. When Joseph woke up from the dream, he was blown away, wasn't he? He did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home. No, he took Mary home as his wife, like immediately. But he did not consummate the marriage or their marriage until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. That's a good man. Father, we thank you for this morning. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you, God, for the day that you give us to live today. Jesus, we're grateful for this season and all that this season means and what it brings to us as your disciples, as your followers. Jesus, we come here to worship you this morning in spirit and truth. As wise men came so long ago, traveled long distances to come and worship you at that first Christmas, we come to worship the King this morning in spirit and in truth. We pray for your spirit to fall upon us today. We pray that, Jesus, you would touch our eyes that we might see God. Touch our ears that we might hear your Spirit speak deep within us. We love you, Lord, and we trust you. In the world in which we live today, we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all those who love God would say, amen. Amen. And you may be seated, and here's some good news this morning. I think we could use some good news this morning. Don't you think so? How about this one? You know, Pastor Graham and BJ celebrates their 50th wedding anniversary. I believe it's the 18th. 50 years. That's pretty awesome. Hey, do you remember a few weeks ago we prayed for Jessica as Jessica was going to donate her kidney to her aunt? And she tested that, you know, her kidney would work. She flew back to New Jersey. And I want to let you know that surgery was successful and that Jessica is doing fine. And her aunt seems to be doing fine. So thank you for your prayers. Praise the Lord, right? Good things going on. God is good. Last Sunday night, we had a great time at our tree lighting service. We sang Christmas songs, and the children's choir sang. And there's no kids in here, right? So I could be... So Santa Claus, one of the kids came up to me and said, "How come he's wearing Vans?" Santa Claus is supposed to wear black boots. What? I said nothing, right? Now, I shared this on Sunday night. Is there was a little boy who had like notes written to Santa, and he confided in me that he's been pretty much naughty this whole year, and he was really concerned because he was pretty convinced that he's not getting anything for Christmas. And I told him, I said, well, you know, maybe you need to just let Santa know you realize you've been kind of naughty this whole year, but you're really going to lean into being good here in the last half of this year. And so I hope the kid pulled. It was a great time, people, just singing, the tree lighting. We had a great Christmas party, man. Just what I think, just what the doctor ordered. And if you got a chance to go, you know, it was really fun to hear how our brother shared a little bit about how they celebrate Christmas in Nigeria. And that was awesome to hear about how they, with getting a fresh chicken, and the little boy's job was to make sure the chicken stays alive and doesn't run away until Christmas Day when they have a special chicken meal. I mean, that was just, you guys, look how Jesus has just impacted the world. It's amazing to think on how from a little country in Israel, 2,000 years later, people all over the world celebrate the Christ, the King. It's just awesome. Well, it's funny, you know, last Sunday, I like reading articles as people are talking about, like, man, our world is being changed so quickly, and things are happening on a global scale, and it's, sociologists are people that study how societies react and respond. And I was reading an article a few weeks ago that 3 out of 5 Americans are more exhausted than ever before. And they would list the things like the politics has been so exhausting, and economics, and inflation, and worries, and social unrest. And they was talking about the pandemic, and all this was before the Omicron virus, you know. And are you exhausted? Emotionally, spiritually, physically? Are you exhausted of these last 2 years? I didn't need to read this article to know, because I've walked with you and I've lived with you. And friends, this has been a hard couple of years. Do I hear an amen? These have been a hard couple of years. And you know what? The battle's still before us, isn't it? The battle's still before us. I said this last Sunday, and I mean it with all my heart. I think if we ever need Christmas, it's now. For all of us to pause and to think back, not at Santa Claus and Rudolph the Red, to think on the first Christmas, to meditate on the message that God has to us in Christmas, the meaning of Christmas. And I was encouraging us, man, we need to just turn off the voices of the world and turn on the voice of God in the Scriptures and start reading and studying, especially this first Christmas. You know, when you read the Scriptures in the Gospels, you can open up the New Testament, just begin reading. Here it is, Christmas. You just can't run from it. Matthew, there it is, Christmas. Luke, there it is, Christmas. Matthew 1 and 2, it's all about the coming of Jesus, the Advent. Luke, it's all about the coming of Jesus and the Advent, the birth of Christ, and it's before us. You know, there's this, I've really enjoyed watching this mini-series on Jesus this last year. I've encouraged you to skeptically watch them as a pastor. It's called The Chosen. And this has been out this whole year. It's been really cool just to, some of them I really like, some of them I'm like, that's terrible, you know, it didn't happen that way. But it gets us to think. And I'm glad that this group of Christians put out this called Christmas with the Chosen. It was in the theaters. And you know what? It's now on YouTube. You can watch it for free. And it's really, I encourage you to. The first hour is just Christmas singing, and they walk through the different names of God, and the characters of the Chosen are talking about the different names of God. It's very inspiring. In the second half, they do, like, this is what Mary and Joseph, what it might have been like, what it probably was like, that first Christmas. And it's really fun to see Mary and Joseph interact. And you know they did. You know, Mary and Joseph were real people. Did you know that? Sometimes I think we look at them like people in the Bible. They were real people just like you and me, being brought into what God has in store. And you see what Mary, I mean, last week we looked at Mary. We opened the pages of Luke, and we kind of entered into Mary's journey. And you know, Mary's this beautiful young lady in Nazareth, which is a podunk town. And she's engaged. And all of a sudden an angel comes and says, you win. You're going to be the mom of the Messiah. Of all the women in all of Israel, you are the one. You are highly favored. And the angel comes and tells her she's going to be married, give birth to a child. And she's like, I'm a virgin. It's going to be from virgin birth. It's going to be amazing. And she says, hey, he's the Lord. I'm his servant. Whatever God wants, I'm in. I love that about her, right? And we studied her last week. The next morning, she gets up. She hears that Elizabeth, her aunt, is an elderly woman, but she's pregnant. It's a miracle. And you had to think that she woke up and said, man, was that real? Did I really have this visitation? She goes from Nazareth in a caravan to Judea. That's a long walk. No 14, 15, 16-year-old girl just took an Uber there. She had to caravan it there, somehow talk her parents into leave. And sure enough, Elizabeth's pregnant and she starts prophesying, the baby in your womb is going to be my Lord. And Mary is blown away. Elizabeth, 6 months pregnant. Mary stays 6 months in Judea, 3 months till the baby's born, because it's 9 months. Did you know it's 9 months for a baby? 9 months. That's how it works, people. Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant. Mary shows up and stays till the baby is born, and then she heads back to Nazareth. And she's 3 months pregnant, and she's not married. And you got to think that, and this is last week, if there was ever any anxiety for Mary, I'm heading home, and she's got to be thinking, God, help me handle the scandal, because this is a problem. Who's going to believe me? Will my mom and dad believe me? Will the town believe me? Most important, will Joseph believe me, or is Joseph going to leave me? This is in her heart as she travels back. And that's where we left Mary last Sunday. And now, this morning, I want us to meet Joseph. Because who is Joseph, right? Who is Joseph of Nazareth? What do you know about him? Carpenter. I bet Mary was thinking, we're going to have great furniture in my house, right? And he's a carpenter, we're going to have a great home. I'm looking forward to this, you know, upgraded kitchen or something. I don't know. He's a good man, single man, looking for a good woman. He's a godly man, looking for a godly wife. I'm sure that Joseph in Nazareth was looking at all the ladies and said, look at Mary. What God and the angel saw in Mary, he saw it. She's a good woman, a godly woman. And he picks her and they're engaged, right? And in the midst of their engagement, I don't think she told him about the angel. I think she went and had to check it out herself. Somehow, in the midst of their engagement, she leaves to go to Judea to see her aunt. And I'm sure he was so excited for her to come back, right? And she comes back. Could he see the bump? The clothes back then kind of covered them. Probably not. How did Mary tell Joseph? She did. How would you tell him? I just would have laid it out. I would have said, this is what happened. This is it. I hope you believe me. I think that's probably what she did. Don't you? Could you imagine that conversation? Could we go for a walk? I'm so glad you're home. I can't wait. Hey, we've been talking about the wedding and this and that and this. Can we talk? You know, maybe go down by the river or the well or something. And she starts laying it out for him and explaining it to him. I'm pregnant. 3 months. But it's virgin birth. It's all of the Lord, and don't worry about it. Do you think how did he do? Can you imagine him? Listening, hearing, probably his heart breaking. If there's ever, I don't know what, I think in my vernacular, I'd say this is nuts. I think in the Hebrew, that's probably what he said. This is nuts. I bet he went to bed that night and didn't sleep and laying in his, did I miss something? She seemed of such great character and this and this and this. And now she's telling me this. Hard time. And probably Mary just going, Lord, I'm doing my best. Lord, you got to help me handle the scandal here. Are you going to help me with this one, right? Matthew 1 and 2. Problem, right? Matthew 1, 18 and 19. Here it is. This is how the birth of... Now here's Matthew. Here's Joseph's perspective in the Gospel of Matthew. It's Mary's perspective in the Gospel of Luke. Read Mary's perspective. Here's his. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. Yep. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Scandal, right? Problem. Listen, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Did he believe her? Answer? No. Would you? He did not believe her. And he heard all this and said, I'm heartbroken. Man, who is this woman? Is she really the woman I thought she was? Did I miss something in her character? It all seemed to be going well until she went to see her aunt. Maybe was she, you know, I mean, can you imagine what's going through his mind? I mean, he's looking forward to marrying her as soon as she gets back. And now this happens. Does he believe her? No. He doesn't believe her. So what's his options? What do you do? You know, let me say this. If you want to take note number one, take this down. Who is Joseph of Nazareth? Here's one for you. Write this down. Joseph is a godly man of compassion who values his integrity. That's who he is. We need him in the scriptures, right? He hears this. He knows it's not his kid. If he just marries her, people are going to think that he is a man of scrupulous unease. His character is ruined, right? I mean, he's in a no-win scenario. You know, the law of Moses says that she could be stoned as an adulteress. He could have publicly had her disgraced. See, and I wonder if he was angry in all this. How could he not be, right? But even in this brokenness, he didn't want any disgrace to fall on her. What does that tell you about this man? He loves her. He's a man of compassion. He's like, I'm going to quietly, I can't, I'm not the father of that child. I don't know who is. I can't marry her, but I can't disgrace her. And you learn about Joseph. Though he's a godly man of integrity, he can't publicly disgrace her. Who is he? He's a good man, isn't he? Isn't he though? Couldn't the world use a few more good men, you know? And that's how he stands. And I think Mary was praying, God, you got to help me with this. And God totally does. Because Matthew 1, 8, 20 through 25. So this is what he's already got it planned out. This is what I'm going to do. But after he had considered this, Matthew 1, 20. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, son of David. Already indicating something unique. Hey, Joseph, you're of the lineage of King David. The Messiah is to come from the lineage of King David. Your lineage, your heritage is part of what God is about to do. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden in this dream, he's going, what? Right? She will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. See, Mary was told by the angel to name her child Jesus, but Joseph is told both his name and the reason for it. See, the name Jesus means Yahweh saves. God is salvation. Yahweh is salvation. Jesus means Yahweh is salvation. Joseph is told the name of the child and the mission of the child, because this child will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet. And also, it's kind of cool. The angel gives Joseph a Bible study lesson in Micah 5:2, we just read. Right? The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. Well, that's Isaiah 7. The virgin will give birth to a child. And he will be Emmanuel, God with us. And he will be born in Bethlehem, Micah 5:2. It's prophecy being fulfilled. I love how the angel explains to Joseph, this is real, and this is what's going on with it, and here is prophecy to prove it. Joseph wakes up. He did what the angel of the Lord commanded him to do. Did you catch that? He wakes up the next morning. He took Mary home and his wife that day. What happens? Instant shotgun wedding. You guys know what a shotgun wedding is? Shotgun wedding. We're married. Right? Takes him home to be his wife immediately. I'll handle all the leers, all the looks, all the eyes. I'll handle it all. You guys probably think I slept with her before, or, you know, he's like, I will endure whatever it is because God is in this. Once Joseph knows that God is in this, he's all in. He's a good man. He's a good man. He gives him the name Jesus. Jesus, right? I wonder how he told Mary. Hey, Mary, could we talk again? I totally believe you. You won't believe this. Angel came to me. Mary's probably going, thank you, Lord. You're helping me handle the scandal. Yeah, I knew he's the guy I'm worried about the most. Dream, not to mom, not to dad, not to the whole village, didn't get the dream, it was just Joseph, you know, God's will be done. Mary's probably going, yes, Lord, Joseph, yeah, hey, you're coming home, we're married now. He brings her home immediately. And they're that way for 6 months, right? But something happens, doesn't it? As we read between Matthew and Luke's gospel, Mary and Joseph are now together. Can you imagine the scandal in a small town? Ever been from a small town? There's no secrets in a small town, friends. Just FYI. And they just probably told the story. People believe me, don't believe me. I don't know. But as it's getting closer, politics takes place. The emperor in Rome wants a census of the Roman world. There was a great civil war that took place about then and depleted of Roman legions. And when you read the Roman historians, Caesar Augustus wanted to know how many people was in his empire. Oh, this is history. It's true. It really happened. Did you know that? Look up Caesar Augustus census. It happened. It's true. It's real. Because of all that in Rome, Joseph is ordered to go from Nazareth to Bethlehem for the census. And that's where his ancestry is from. King David is from Bethlehem. Right? The giant slayer. Remember him. The first true king, the best king of Israel. Right? And so Joseph and Mary have to travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And she is pregnant, people. Really pregnant. She's so pregnant by the time they get to Bethlehem, she's given birth like right now. Right? Listen to this. Luke 2, 4 through 7. So Joseph went up to the town of Nazareth. This is Luke's gospel. In Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house in the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to a firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there is no room for them in the inn. Why is there no inn space? Because everybody has to assemble for the census, and there is nothing, there is no hotels at all in all of Bethlehem, just a stable. Who helped Mary deliver the baby? As soon as they got there, she's given birth that night. Who's there to help her? probably nobody. Did Joseph deliver that baby? Probably, possibly. Looks like it. Not qualified midwife in all of Israel. Can you imagine Joseph? Here he is trying to bring his wife because he has to obey the law. Gets there, can't find anything. The guy must be frustrated off the yingers. I have a pregnant wife. There's nothing. There's no room in the inn. And finally, there's a cave over here, a stable. He gets in there. He's probably cleaning up horse and cattle and dump and cleaning up a space for his wife. And all of a sudden, she's like, water breaks, and here it comes. And he's what? Can you imagine? Hey, guys, how many guys in here? Did you deliver your kids? Anyone? Dr. Carr. Right? Do you think Joseph had done this before? He's amazing. Do you think that, talk about giving birth to your kid. A bucket of water. Cloths. Mary. Big, by the way, there's a beautiful star out that night. Did you know that? And here's Joseph. What does that tell you about Joseph? You know what? Honestly, if I'm in a crisis situation, do you know who I want at my right side? Joseph. This guy gets it done. Doesn't he though? He's a man of integrity. He's a man who when he sees God's in it, he's in. He's a man of action. He's a man that will take hits for people he loves. And man, in a crisis situation, he'll get it done. Do you like Joseph? He's a good man, isn't he? He gets it done. And so the baby comes into the world, and you guys, I remember like when my kids, I remember holding up Jonathan Jordan, hey buddy, hey little guy. Mary and Joseph all of a sudden, here's the baby. What do you think's going through his mind? Does he call him, hey son? Does he call him, hey God? Does he call him Messiah? Does he call him, hi Lord? As they were probably staring at this little guy, what do you say to him? Does Mary worship him or does she nurse him? She does both, right? Because he's holy and he's hungry. And Joseph's just watching all this unfold. Like, wow, am I wrapped up in something I didn't see coming? Who is Joseph? He's a good man. He's a man of integrity and character. He's a man who follows God. He's all in. He's ready to go. And you know what's kind of cool? As Joseph sees all this unfolding, and all of a sudden, when you read in Luke's account, you see shepherds start coming because angels had told him. You know, Joseph is a man of hospitality. He doesn't, hey, you know what? This is a bad time. I've had a long day. I've gone all the way from Nazareth to Bethlehem with a pregnant wife. And man, as soon as we got here, we couldn't find a place to sleep. And then, we got a barn. I'm cleaning up a barn. Her water broke. And man, could you come back later? He doesn't do any of that. This is a bad time. When the shepherds start coming, it's like Joseph realizes that this baby is not for him. This baby's for the world. Joseph's a man of hospitality. As people began coming, be it shepherds or the wise men, Joseph was, come and see this baby. Come welcome into the miracle of what we're still trying to figure out. If you're taking notes, he's a man of hospitality. He's strong, he's courageous, he's a godly man, integrity. But he's hospitable. He's a good man. Did you know that? I think he's the unsung hero of Christmas. And you know, there's more we learn about him. It's not just when you read this in Matthew chapters 1 and 2, you kind of get to read him. But you know, you learn about Joseph. There's just little nuggets of gold you can meet this man. Like in Matthew 2. So all of a sudden, Magi from the east, probably from Babylon, you know, the Babylonian captivity, the people, and they knew about the Messiah coming from the Jews being there for 70 years. And they all of a sudden, they're good with astrology. They see the Messiah star. They come and they go to Jerusalem and they tell Herod the king, hey, where's the king of Israel born? And bad move, because Herod the Great was a real sadistic person. That's a whole other topic. Bethlehem, where is the baby to be born? Bethlehem. They go to Bethlehem. And by the time when you read in Luke 2, it says they're in a home. That means that Joseph is no longer in a barn. Check this out. In Matthew 2, 13 through 15, when they had gone, I'm not going to read that part. When they showed up, they went to a home and they worshiped the child with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And the wise men come, they worship Jesus, and then they leave. And this is in Matthew 2. It says, when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. He said, get up, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. 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 Do you think Joseph's ever been to Egypt? Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. What did Joseph do? So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night. Have you ever woken up from a dream and immediately, you are a man of action. We're out of here now. If God says to take the kid, we're leaving. It's 2:30. I don't care. It's cold out. Can we leave in the morning? No, now. During the night, and left for Egypt, where they stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. What does that tell you about Joseph? He's a man of action. Take notes. Note number 4. Joseph is the man who takes the job of protecting his family seriously. You know, I'm sure Joseph all the way through this says, I'm taking care of Mary. I'm taking care of this baby. I've been entrusted. He took this seriously to protect his child and to protect his wife. You know, I was talking this week with a family in our church who have 2 young, beautiful kids. And they're like, Pastor Frank, it is so scary raising kids. How do we raise our children and what we're dealing with in our society today? LGBTQ stuff. I mean, these cute little girl and little son, and it's like the mom and dad are like, they take this seriously. How do we raise our children in the ways of Jesus? What would Jesus say? And it's like, we can't wait till they're 16 or 14. It's like, when do you tell them? Is this a scary time? If you were a parent, would you be scared raising kids today? Anyone? What they're teaching our kids in schools? It's scary days. The parents in this church, they understand these days. They need our prayers. God bless children's programs and youth programs. We're here to support, help parents raising their kids in the ways of the Lord. The world is going nuts. Do I hear an amen? Imagine raising, I'm 56. My kids are old. One of my kids is a cop. You know, I think he can take care of himself, you know? Man, young children, these are scary days. Joseph protects his children, protects his wife. He's a good man. He takes this seriously. Dads and moms, protect your children. Dads and moms, protect your children. Raise up your children. Watch over your children, right? Joseph gets up middle of the night, man, and he is, I'm doing this. Joseph's a good guy, isn't he? From the scriptures, you can mean a lot about him. I said last week, you know, here's some wisdom that Mary would have said. You know, Mary, if Mary was to give you wisdom today, if she was to sit here, she would have told you, hey, you know what? He's the Lord. You follow him because he's the Lord. Following Jesus is not a feeling, it's a decision. That's what Mary would say, and Joseph would agree. Right? Mary, you know, following Jesus is not a feeling, it's a decision. Mary just follows him because he's the Lord, period. Joseph would agree. You know, wisdom from Mary. Here's some wisdom from Joseph. You ready? I think if Joseph was to sit here today and he was to talk to you and talk to me, he would say this, and write this down. We have to be willing to leave our comfort zone to follow Jesus. We have to be willing to leave our comfort zone to follow Jesus. Don't we? I think Mary and Joseph left their comfort zone the moment they said yes. But you know, for Joseph, he grew up in Israel his whole life. And now he's going to Egypt? The Lord calls him to another country? That requires courage. Praise God for the gold that the wise men brought to help provide for this trip. God always provides. To a land, Joseph takes them from Bethlehem, across Israel, across the Sinai Peninsula, and into Egypt, and stays there. In a land with a different language, a different culture, a different religion. Man, if you're going to follow the Lord, you've got to be willing to step out of your comfort zone. Joseph would totally say that. I mean, how many people in here have ever traveled to a different country? You have, haven't you? You know, I was thinking about this years ago in the 90s. People in our young adults group did a trip to Morocco. My friend Steve Gifford took a group of college students and young adults to Morocco on a missions trip. We were working with a missionary agency there. While we were there, a man offered Steve 3 camels for Carol Shaner, who was the daughter of Dr. Shaner, right, and Betsy Shaner, in Morocco. He wanted to buy one of the women that was on our group. Dr. Shaner said he should have taken the camels, but that was kind of funny. He was joking. You know, when you go to a different culture, they live differently, don't they? You ever been to a different culture? Speaking different languages? Man, when you follow Jesus, you got to be willing to get out of your comfort zone. And when you're just going to go into different places. Joseph's like, I don't know Egyptian. I don't understand Egyptian culture. I'm taking my wife there with my baby, and I'm going to protect them and watch over them until the angel tells me it's okay. Right? Man, the whole time, Joseph, he's a carpenter from Nazareth. Hey, many of you in this room travel to America, and that's hard. Learning a different language. Learning different culture. Pastor Graham still says we drive on the wrong side of the road. He's from South Africa. Anyone ever been to England? My friend Steve was sharing Jesus to Muslims in London. He was a missionary there for many years. And he came back, and I'll never forget, because I was a youth pastor here at Woodbridge Community Church, and he was driving. And he pulled left into incoming traffic because he was driving in London for like 4 or 5 years. And hey, we drive right. It's Pastor Graham that's wrong. The steering wheel is on the left side of the car, right? Hey, Joseph would tell you, if you're going to follow Jesus, you got to be willing to step out of your comfort zone. Meeting, maybe talking with people, meeting people, engaging with people. Well, that's inconvenient. Really? Really? You're going to wait for what's convenient? Joseph would tell you, man, can I share with you just as the man who was the stepdad of Jesus, man, if you're going to follow God, you got to be willing to leave your comfort zones. And you know what? Here, write this one down. I'm sure Joseph would tell you this, people. Note number 6, last note. God chooses ordinary people to accomplish extraordinary things. Joseph would sit here today and say, You know, this is wisdom from me to you. God chooses ordinary people to accomplish extraordinary things. Ordinary people. You know, when we read the Bible, I think sometimes we look at the people in the Bible and think, wow, right? Maybe the little halos are all over their heads type stuff, right? You know, like, if you have any people in the Jewish culture, you have Jewish friends, it's Moses. Moses is the man. Moses, the Torah. We're disciples of Moses. You know, Moses had an anger problem, a really bad anger problem, so much so that God didn't even let him enter the promised land. Moses. King David, a man after God's own heart. King David, the greatest king of Israel, was a man who committed adultery with Bathsheba and murdered her husband Uriah the Hittite. And he totally repented, but he paid the price. Peter, did you know that Peter denied Jesus not once, not twice, but three times? Peter, St. Peter. Do you know Peter had a terrible condition called foot and mouth disease? He constantly put his foot in his mouth all the time, all through the Gospels. He would speak before he would think. And Jesus would look over at him and go, really? And Peter would go, oh, sorry, Lord. You know, like, all the time. Do you know God specializes in working with messed up people? Who else does he have to work with? Exhibit A, right here. God specializes in working with messed up people. Real people. Joseph was an ordinary man. Good man. Godly man. I wish we knew more about him from the scriptures, honestly, friends. I mean, after Luke, or after Matthew 2, and then a little bit in Luke 2, we know that when Jesus was 12, Joseph and Mary took him up to Jerusalem for his bar mitzvah, right? And then after that, Joseph disappears from the pages of the New Testament. All we know is between he raised Jesus up to the age of 12, probably, and sometime between 12 and 30, Joseph dies. We don't know how he dies. We know that Mary and Joseph had other kids. We even know the names of some of their kids, like James, who wrote the gospel. The first book of the New Testament was written by James, Jesus' half-brother. We know that Jude was another gospel writer. We know that Jesus had sisters. We know that Joseph raised a family. He provided for his family in Nazareth. He trained up Jesus how to be a carpenter. We even know where he worked, a place called Sepphoris, which is about 4 miles from Nazareth. They walked 4 miles every day to this capital city that was being built in the time of Jesus. It's really fun to go there now and know that Joseph and James and Jude and all the brothers went. Joseph was a man that worked hard, provided for his family, protected his family, raised up godly kids as best he could. He's in the background. He's a man that's in the background, but he's the unsung. I think he's the hero of Christmas. The way he takes care of his family, protects his family, watches over his family. And Joseph did all this in hard times. These were difficult days. And he was behind the scenes just being a godly man. Joseph. Working every day, providing for his family, raising his kids, protecting his family, trying to be the best man that he could be. He's a man of integrity, a godly man, a man of the scriptures. He's a man of compassion. He's a man of action. He's a man that takes seriously protecting his family, providing for his family. Hard-working man. Mary and Joseph had a great life. And it's so sad to think Joseph never heard Jesus give a sermon. He never saw Jesus do a miracle. He knew this miracle baby and angels and all this, and yet he doesn't get to see the fulfillment of any of this. And that was so cool. There was a scene, I think it was in season 2, when Mary was talking and reminiscing, and she says, "I just wish Joseph could have seen what I'm seeing now of what my Jesus, my son, is doing, you know? He's just a good man. He would tell you today, all God wants from you is to say yes." You know what Joseph would tell you to do today? He would tell you to say yes to his son, Jesus. The angel says that this child is going to take away the sins of the world, the sins of my people. Jesus dies on a cross to wash away our sins, because all of us are not holy without Christ, and God is holy. You can't go hang out with God unless you are made holy. It's just who God is, and God has to train you and transform you. God is more moral than you are. Did you know that? You think you're a moral being. I'm a good person. I'm sure you're a good person. There's some people better than you, worse than you. God, there is in moral perfection. God is so holy and so pure, He can't be in your presence because you would defile Him. Because one speck of sin separates you from Him. He can't be polluted in your presence. But God loves you and wants you in His kingdom. He sends Jesus to take our sins on Himself, and He washes our sins away. "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." All my sins. People, I'm not going to heaven because I'm a good person. I'm not going to heaven because I went on a missions trip. I'm not going to heaven because I give money to the church. I'm not going to heaven because I'm a preacher. I'm going to heaven because of Jesus and what He did for me on the cross. All my sins have been washed away, past, present, and future. He who knew no sin became sin on Frank Wyman's behalf, that I might become the righteousness of God. The gift of Christmas is salvation. How many people do we know have died this year? I know a lot. Many more are going to die next year. Someday we're all going to die. Friends, you need Jesus. You've got to get this. Joseph would say yes to my son. Let him take away your sins. Accept him in your life. Joseph would tell you, follow my son. Listen to him. He comes for you. Joseph would tell you this morning, say yes to God and just put your head down and follow him. No matter what's in the news. No matter what's in the papers. You walk by faith. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Be the man God calls you to be. Be the woman God calls you to be. And don't be afraid. Follow the Lord. And if it disappoints other people, let the chips fall where they may. I can't wait to meet him someday. To me, Joseph is just an awesome example of a godly man. And he's mostly behind the scenes. Praise God for all the godly men and women in this church that are behind the scenes. Praying, serving. There are so many amazing people in this church. Cleaning the facilities, protecting the church, shepherding the kids today, youth, watching over people. People in our church that need rides to the doctor's office and people taking them. And I mean, there's so much stuff behind the scenes. God bless these people that just serve the Lord. They're all over. God bless you. Joseph's our example. He encourages me. I pray that Joseph encourages you. I pray you get to meet him a little bit better today. Do you know him? It's kind of cool. Just there's not that much. But what we see, if we just squeeze it out, we can see a lot about who this guy was. What a good man. Praise God for Joseph of Nazareth, the hero of Christmas. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for this day. Jesus, we need Christmas this year. Not Santa Claus and not Rudolph. We need Jesus. Lord, we need, as your disciples, to once again just stir our minds into the pages of Scripture and to see that first Christmas and what your message is to us, God, through Jesus. And Lord, when we see Mary and Joseph, we're encouraged by them. What awesome people. Real human beings that just trusted you and followed you. God, I pray that you would use them to encourage us today as we open the pages of Scripture and we study the ancient text. Lord, may the Spirit of God just agree with the written Word of God, and may you stir into our hearts truth. God, may the Spirit just bring faith into our hearts today and hope and praise because of Christ. Thank you for Christmas. Lord, we need it this year. We as your disciples love Christmas and what it means. Thank you for your love for us and sending your Son into this world to walk with us, to pay the price for our sins, the cradle and the cross. We celebrate that the Lord is risen from the dead. He's ascended into heaven. And the Lord God Almighty will come back again, maybe sooner than we think. And may we all be ready. May we all be faithful servants of God as Mary and Joseph. Whenever your timetable is, Lord, to either take us home or to come down and take us out of here, which would be awesome. God, we trust you, honor you, and worship you this day. We pray this in the name of Jesus. And all those who love God would say what? Amen. Amen.